This is Paul Mills. Thank you for listening to this message from God's Word. It is my prayer that God will speak to you today, bring hope, healing, and direction in your life.
Take your Bibles, turn with us to the book of Isaiah, chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61. We are continuing in the series that we have been on for the past several weeks on the subject of emotional healing, the healing of the inner man. We have said on several occasions that some of the deepest wounds we experience are not physical wounds, as painful as those may be, but it's the wounds of the heart. It's the death of the loved ones, the divorce, the betrayal of trusted friends and relatives, the failures of businesses or careers, the accidents, the tragedies, the heartaches, things like Harold was talking about, losing adult children. How many of you have lost adult children? Can I see your hand? A number of you in this room. I was shocked one time as I was talking to people, and guys, life doesn't always seem fair. Has anybody noticed that? It can be painful. I'm glad that God understands and has made provision for us. Isaiah chapter 61, beginning in verse 1, these are the words that Jesus spoke of himself. In Luke chapter 4, when he was launching his ministry, he used these exact words, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair." In your notes, which are in the materials that you were given, we quote Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. The word says, "You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast, because he trusts in you." God's word promises when we trust God. And by the way, you don't have to understand God or agree with God in order to trust him. You simply put it in his hands. The word says that when our mind is steadfast, when it's locked in on the principles of God, then there is going to be peace, perfect peace, Jim, as you guys sang about. In your notes this morning, we have given you a review of the past several weeks. We talked about the steps of emotional healing. Number one, to accept what you cannot change. Healing begins with acceptance. Number two, to stop playing the blame game. Number three, to make the wonderful discovery of who God says you really are. And we have given you an outline of some of the information we went through in those messages. Step four, to slam the door on self-pity. Step five is to apply the healing medicine of the Holy Spirit. Step six, the material we covered with you last week, to choose and cultivate a positive, faith-filled attitude. This morning we're dealing with step number seven of this process called emotional healing. And step seven is to put your failures behind you and move ahead. Put your failures behind you and move ahead. So often when tragedy comes in our lives, when bad things happen to us, we adopt a position that says, God must be punishing me. Has that ever gone through anybody's mind? This wouldn't be happening to me if I were a good person, so God must be punishing me. So I must have failed at some point in my life, and we begin to take on a failure complex. Perhaps you have failed. Perhaps you've failed in your marriage, in your career. Maybe you think you failed with your children or broken relationships. Maybe there have been sin in your life, things you know that have hurt the heart of God, decisions that you have made. that have been bad decisions. And the devil reinforces that by saying you're a failure, you're getting what you deserve, your life doesn't count, it's all over, you might as well end it now. Now, I'll not ask for a show of hands of how many people have heard that conversation in their head, but I promise you, I'll raise my hand, I've heard that conversation in my head. And we're here this morning to talk about how to be restored, how to be healed, how to be made new. Our scripture is found in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. The word says, "Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." These are the words, obviously, of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul obviously carried a lot of guilt. He had to have flashbacks of that day when Stephen was stoned. And he held the garments and gave consent as the ruling elder that was there that day to be stoned, and he saw the expression on Stephen's face as he drew his last breath and said, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do." He had to have had flashbacks. He signed the decree that put literally tens of thousands of Christians in prison. They were persecuted. They were slain. Untold damage and harm to the body of Christ. That had to haunt him, carrying the guilt of his past. And yet God brought him to a place that said, you can either wallow in the failure, in the mistakes of your past, or you can move to that which I have called you. And I love these words. He says, "Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it." He said, "I'm not there yet. I'm in process. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind." Would you say those words with me this morning? Forgetting what is behind. Say it one more time. Forgetting what is behind. And straining toward what is ahead. It's hard, folks, to let go of our past. It's hard to let go of those hurts. It's hard to let go of that pain. But you will never fulfill the purpose of God in your life as long as you're living in that past. He said, "I strain toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." He said, there's a purpose. There's a plan. I press toward that goal of winning the prize. I realize that as you trio started the service this morning, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. He said, I realize there's an eternity in front of me, and I want to stand before God and hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I do not want to stop where I am and let my past control my future. Now, in your notes this morning, I've given you several things about failure that we need to know. Number one, to fail is not to be a failure. To fail is not to be a failure. Because you fail several times in your life or at several different places in your life does not mean you are a failure. It means you're a person that has failed at a certain point in his life. No one is a total failure. Now, the devil will try to convince you of that. He's going to point to this failure and that failure and that failure and say, you are a failure. No, you're not a failure. You are a child of God. You're born again. You're forgiven. But we have to deal with this issue. When we center our attention on our failures or a cluster of failures, we develop a failure mentality. And God says, I've got to deliver you. I've got to set you free from that and give you a success mentality. A mentality that says God is greater than any problem. God is greater than any need. God has a plan. He has a hope. He has a future for your life. It's displeasing to God for us to mope around and allow the failures of our past to consume us and to haunt us. God said, this is a new day. I want to do a new work inside of you. As Christians, we need to give our failures to Christ, receive his mercy, his grace, and move forward. Number two, to error is human. To err is human. I really wonder where we got the idea that failure is a disgrace. Ladies and gentlemen, if failure were a disgrace, there would be nobody to serve Christ. Because I'm here to tell you, at some point in every man and woman's life, you're going to fail at something. If we got real honest this morning, we could go back and point to some decisions and things we've done in our lives, and none of us would stand faultless before God. In fact, the Scripture says, I've written it down for you there, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Thank God through His mercy we're forgiven, aren't we? Every great personality in Scripture, except Jesus, failed. Read it. Look at the life of Abraham or Moses or David or Peter. Pick one. They failed at some point in their life, but God still used them because they came to Him for mercy and grace and strength. And God said, I have a future for you. Be patient with yourself. To error is human. Number three, no man is ever a failure who is still trying. No one is ever a failure who's still trying. You're never a failure, ladies and gentlemen, until you stop trying, until you give up. Failure is no disgrace if you've tried your best. The pole vaulter never knows how high he can jump until he knocks the bar off. He keeps jumping and jumping and jumping, and finally, when he knocks the bar off, people say, ah, he failed. No, he didn't. He realized how high he could go. If you're doing something in life, if you're active, if you're moving forward, you're going to make some mistakes. The only person that doesn't make mistakes is the person who's not doing anything, and they make the greatest mistake of all, and that's failure to fulfill what God has in their life. God said there's going to be failure, but I would rather attempt something great and fail than to attempt nothing and succeed. Step four in this process is to learn from your failures. Ladies and gentlemen, don't stick your foot in the same hole twice. Now, that sounds so elementary, but I've done it. And God's reminded me, you've been here before. Yeah, I have. And God said, you didn't learn it the first time. Your mistakes and failures will adjust you if you let them. Bill Hymer wrote a book many years ago called Don't Waste Your Sufferings. Don't waste your sufferings. We learn obedience. In fact, in your notes in Hebrews 5:8, speaking of Jesus, said although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. You say, Jesus learned? Absolutely. Jesus learned obedience through what he suffered. Ladies and gentlemen, when you go through pain, through trial, through failure, God will teach you and you can grow from that. In James 1:2, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Step five is to realize that failure need never be final. Today is a new day. Never allow yesterday's failure to control the plans God has for your future. Don't surrender. Number six is wash the fear of failure from your mind. There is no emotion that paralyzes people like the emotion of fear. Fear of failure defeats many people even before they get started. And hear me, ladies and gentlemen, Satan wants you to be paralyzed with fear. He wants you to be immobile. He wants you to live in the past because he realizes if you ever get in the future, you're going to be a threat to him and his kingdom. He does not want you to fulfill the plan that God has for your life. Fear of failure is actually more destructive than actual failure because it holds people in bondage. You may have failed once, twice, 10 times. Your life may be a mess. So what are you going to do? Crawl in a hole and die? The devil would really like that. He would like to get rid of you. He would like to convince you you're no good, you have no future, you messed up too bad. God can't use you. Someone has said, for all the sad words of tongue and pen, the saddest are these. It might have been. People who refuse to move ahead because they're afraid of failure do not protect their self-respect. they actually lose their self-respect. Ladies and gentlemen, I've learned something. There is no possibility of progress without risk. When you move forward in God, when you step out in faith, when you step out to believe God for a new future, for a new plan, there's always the element of failure, of risk. And yet, the greatest mistake is not ever extending yourself to what God has. Success is taking the opportunities God has given you and using them for His glory. Failure is not using the gifts that God has placed within your hands. God has given each of you a background, a history, gifts, a personality, and He wants to use them. You may say, well, I failed in the past. I don't want to fail again. The truth is, ladies and gentlemen, your prospect of success in the future is much greater because your failure in the past. You at least now know what not to do. The story is told of Thomas Edison, the inventor of the light bulb. 6,000 times Thomas Edison conducted experiments and failed to invent the light bulb. 6,000 times. Someone came to him one day and said, you know, aren't you discouraged? He said, no. He said, I'm now an expert on 6,000 ways it won't work. I'm going to write a book someday on things not to do. A lot of them. The fact is, ladies and gentlemen, and there's very few advantages to living long, but I've lived long enough to see what doesn't work. And I see God's Word, and I'm choosing to believe what God has to say. I can tell you this, I've learned a lot more from my failings than I have from my successes. Children learning to walk. Have you ever watched a little baby learn to walk? They'll take one or two steps, and they fall down. And they say, I'll never learn to do this, I'm just going to give up. I'm going to lay here on the floor the rest of my life. Is that what they do? What do? They get up, try it again. Maybe the next time they take one more step, then one more step. Their failures become learning experiences. I know what to do. I know what not to do. I'm going to grow. I'm not going to let this thing lick me. God in me, the Christ in me, is greater than any power of this world. Use your failures as stepping stones. Don't allow them to destroy you. If someone were to give you a choice today and say, I'm going to give you something, you have your choice. A thriving business with money in the bank or a struggling business with wisdom, which one would you take? Most people would take the thriving business with the money. Now, that would be the wrong decision. Wisdom will overcome any obstacle you have. God wants to give you wisdom, and sometimes that wisdom is through learning through suffering, learning through failure. Say, embrace that. Say, God, teach me. Let me learn so I don't have to go through this again. Let me move on to the next level. The story is told of Abraham Lincoln, and many of you have heard this, but as a young man, he ran for the Illinois legislature, did everything possible to win his campaign, was defeated by a landslide. He then went into business with a partner. In spite of earnest efforts, the business failed. Lincoln spent 17 years paying off the debts of a worthless partner who just about destroyed him. He then fell deeply in love with a beautiful woman, only to lose her in death. Re-entering the field of politics, he ran for Congress, but was badly defeated. He tried to secure an appointment with the United States Land Office, but failed. In 1856, he was a candidate for the office of Vice President of the United States. Again, he was defeated. In 1858, he was defeated by Douglas in a Senate race. You'd think the guy would have had good sense and just quit and said, you're a failure. You know what he did? One more time. God had put a dream in that man. A dream of greatness, a dream of serving. One more time, he sucked it up, Jim. He said, I'm going for it. And he ran for president. And he won, and the rest is history. He refused to give in to the failures of his life. You too can turn failures into stepping stones by faith. Very quickly, 9 miracle drugs that can help you heal your emotional scars. Number one, accept your own shortcomings. Nobody's perfect except Jesus. Be patient with yourself. Maybe you're not where you ought to be. Thank God you're not where you used to be. How many of you can say, I'm making progress, Paul? I'm making progress. Give yourself time. Be a good learner. Number two, if you've sinned, admit it and start over again. Peter denied Christ 3 times. But you know what? He repented. He said, I'm sorry. God said, I want to make you a leader in my church. And used him in an awesome way. David committed adultery. He committed murder. He lied to the prophet of God. He did everything he could be done. But he repented. And God said, there's a man after my own heart. God used him. 1 John 1:9, you've heard me repeat it so many times. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a true promise of God. If you come and you confess it, it's separated as far as the east is from the west, and God said it's not even remembered against you anymore. Number three, forgive your own mistakes. Let me tell you something. If God has forgiven you, you must forgive you. I'm going to say that again. If God has forgiven you, and if you come to him and ask him for forgiveness, he said he gives it. So if God has forgiven me and I don't forgive me, you know what I'm doing? I'm sinning against God. Every time I allow that stuff from my past to come and beat me down, that condemnation, that's the lie of the enemy. God said, forgive yourself. Number four, forgive others. People are people. They're not gods. They're human beings. They make mistakes. For your sake, for God's sake, forgive them. Number five, see anything that has happened as water under the bridge. Accept what you cannot change. It's over. It's past. You can't go back and undo it. Put it under the blood and move on. 2-3 weeks ago, I talked about dragging that garbage can behind you. Of all that 20, 30, 40 years of mess you put in there. At some point, you have to take the lid off the garbage can and say, I'm going to deal with this stuff and give it to God. I want free from my garbage can. I want to be free to move forward in God. Put it behind you. Number six, do not be controlled by what has happened to you, but be controlled by where you want to go from here. Don't let the old hurts, the defeats, the setbacks hold you back from your future. Many times when we go through emotional pain in our life, We make statements like, I'll never trust anybody again. I'll never go in business again. I'll never marry again. When we do that, we're simply saying, I've not turned loose of the past yet. I'm not ready for God to take me into the future. We have to turn loose of those pains from the past. Don't let your past run your life now. Number seven, move ahead with determination. Do you know what successful people have that unsuccessful people don't? Is determination. They just don't give up. Maybe we're not real bright. I don't know. Maybe Abraham Lincoln was not smart enough to understand he should have quit. But he said, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I have a hope. I have a future. I have a plan. And I'm not going to lay down and die. I'm not going to crawl in a hole and pull the lid in. I will be what God's called me to be. I'm not surrendering to my past. You just don't give up. You don't quit. You don't stop. Your age, your health, friends, you don't let that stuff stop you. You say, I will fulfill the reason that God created me. I look at the life of the Apostle Paul. Things didn't always go his way. Imprisoned, beaten, falsely accused, misunderstood even by fellow Christians. Conflicts. And yet he said, Nancy, we started the service this morning. I know whom I've believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Paul refused to let go. Number eight in our 9 miracle drugs, look to Jesus. Never fails. Keep your focus on Jesus and his word. refuse to be moved by what you see and what you hear. Now, that's easy for me to stand up here in Sunday morning in my black preacher suit and tell you. It's tough on Thursday afternoon when the doctor just told you you have an incurable disease. It's hard when the phone rings and that tragedy, that accident has occurred when all hell is breaking loose in your life. But you say, I will look to Him who is the author and the finisher of my faith. Though God slay me, yet will I trust Him. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come can separate me from the love of Christ. Let the storms blow. Let the winds come. Let the waves come. I am anchored in the rock who is Jesus Christ, and I will not be defeated. Because He who has begun a good work in me will finish that work. He'll perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We stand upon what God has said. And we keep our focus upon Him. I don't care what people say. I don't care how much negativity. I don't care how much stuff is in your life. I just have a feeling this morning there's a bunch of stuff going on in lives today. But God is saying, put your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. He will finish what He started, ladies and gentlemen, in your life. He's a faithful God. Feed upon the answers, not upon the problems. And then step number 9 in this miracle drug for your healing is to dream a new dream. That's the title of my message next week. That's going to be the final message in this series. Some of you lost your first dream. Your dream died. I'm glad I'm with a bunch of old people. We can be honest, can't we? You young guys just kind of tune us out, okay? Hey, guys, life can be tough. Some of you lost your dream. I was telling, who was I telling? Marilyn? Talking to you this morning. She was talking about, she appreciated all we did and went through with the church and everything. And I said, she was kind of feeling sorry for us, how hard we work and all we do. And I said, hey, Marilyn, you're just seeing an old man fulfill his dream. When we met last September in meeting room A at the courtyard by Marriott, an old man started dreaming again. You are the fulfillment of an old man's dream. I hope you're blessed as my dream is being fulfilled. And I hope that a dream is birthed within you, a new dream. If you came this morning expecting this to be an old folks deal, just all of us talking about dying and you in the wrong spot, we're going out of here swinging, folks. We're going out of here taking prisoners. I mean, we're going out of here strong for Jesus. Brother Harold, I want to burn out, not rust out, brother. When I go, I want them to say, that boy went with his boots on, literally. I mean, he had his boots on. Dream a new dream. That's all I have to say about that. Come back next week. I'll preach the sermon. Let's pray. Lord, in Jesus' name, we thank You for the sacrifice that was prayed upon the cross for our sin. Thank You that You loved us enough to take upon Your back the stripes, to take the crown of thorns, to take the beating, the abuse. You took our sin and You paid for it that we could be free. Free from the past, free from our guilt. Thank You for Your mercy, grace, Your love. Thank You, Lord, that You began a good work in us. You're going to finish it. You're going to complete it. So we come to You today and we just say, Jesus, be Lord of everything we are. Our mind, our body, our time, our resources, our past, our present, our future. We give it all to You.
This is Paul Mills again. I pray that this message has blessed you. This ministry is possible only through the faithful prayers and financial gifts of God's people. Please pray for us and make a financial contribution so that we can continue to reach people around the world with the message of hope in Jesus Christ. You can give online by clicking the Giving tab at the top of the website, or you can give by mail to the address also listed on the Giving page. All gifts are sincerely needed, appreciated, and are tax deductible. Thank you for helping us reach the world for Christ.